Come to the presence and say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
All right, tell the fellow, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of His
will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
As a consequence,
I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work.
And I'm always increasing the knowledge of God.
Say,
as the word of God is coming forth,
it has an easy way into my heart. It
is correcting my thoughts.
It
is removing every form of worldliness.
It
is conforming me into the image of Christ Jesus. All right, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's commence our teaching today from the book of Psalms chapter 16. Now, a few verses I need, but the psalm is relatively short, so let's just read everything. Okay, let's just do something. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and then we'll read verse 11 together. Is that all right? Okay, whichever version you have, just read it, okay? But make sure that you are reading it with concentration and warmly. Now, David said, "Preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you." Verse 2. "You are my Lord, I have no good besides you." In verse 3, it says, "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." Number 4, "The sorrows of those who have bad hearts for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips." In verse 5, David says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." He said, you support my lot. Verse 6, "The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." Verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night." 8, "I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Verse 9, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." Verse 10, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." Verse 11, let's read together. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever." All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, you wonder why we're reading this. You see, it's part of our teaching on the increase of the kingdom of God. Now, let me just quickly continue from where we stopped. Last time, I explained the fact that, let me say this, some things we said beforehand. I'd just like to review it. We've read again and again from the book of Revelation, chapter 17, that God does not do anything. He will not succeed in what he's doing on the earth unless he finds people to cooperate with him. I can't say that enough. Let's not deceive ourselves that God will just change the earth, change the nation, change our community. Without our active participation, it doesn't work. So what the Lord is doing is to train people in righteousness. He said, "These are the people who are with him, the called, the chosen, and the faithful." Last time I emphasized to us that God gives us power and authority in life. If you're a husband in the family, God has given you power and authority. If you're a boss in an office, God has given you power and authority. If you're head of a ministry, God has given you power and authority. If you're head of a government parastatal, God has given you power and authority. Everybody has power somewhere in life. Do you understand? If you're a bus driver, you have power and authority. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you're a pilot of a plane, you know you are the final authority on that plane. If you're the pilot of a ship, you are a king on that ship. As long as that ship is sailing, you are the commander-in-chief. Everybody has power somewhere. You may not realize it, but if you look at it closely, there's a place where your word is final. There's a place where it is what you say that people do. Now, what do you do with the power and authority? That's the issue. You either give it to the beast or you give it to the Lord. The victory of the Lord Jesus is dependent on his faithful people giving him their power and their authority. We have read that again and again. So we have been trained as soldiers of Christ. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And it is dependent upon how much we cooperate with what he's trying to do that God's work will be done on this earth. Very important. So last time I said, this is what Satan is trying to do to pollute that process. There's something I've been saying, I want to emphasize it again before I go into my message for today. All right? Now listen to this. I've said this, don't worry, not less than 1,000 times. Now I say it all the time. You have to be careful to understand how life works. Some things are automatic in life. And that's what I keep on teaching concerning the power of grace. Grace is when I do something small, and then God does something big because I did that something small. That is what grace is. The great thing that God does because of my little obedience is what is called grace. Grace is a manifestation of the power of God in the lives of those who are obedient to his will. That is, if God wants to do something mighty, he wants to divide the Red Sea, he needs a Moses to simply put up his staff over the sea. Now, the Bible says that Moses divided the sea. He just lifted the rod over it. And the Bible says that it was Moses that divided the sea. Well, of course, we know it's the power of God. But what was he trying to emphasize? If Moses did not put that rod over the sea, his staff over the sea would not have divided. Well, how was the sea divided? It's called grace. Please bear this in mind. Great things are done in life by people, small people, dedicated people, who do the little thing that God said they should do. What God is looking for is the freedom to pour his power into what he wants to do. But that thing that you are doing is your way of giving God your power and your authority so that his own power can flow. I want you to get this point. What am I trying to say? For that reason, if God wants to do a great thing, let's say in a country like ours, you know, we think that God requires us to go and set up a radio station and be shouting, change, change, change. God says, that is noise. Now listen, please, let me explain something. If he wants to do that, fine, he will do it. But what he's saying is that, you listen to me carefully. I will tell you one small thing to do in your life. I will tell you one small thing to do in your own environment. Sometimes I tell you to do something very ridiculous, like putting your staff out over the sea. But based upon that, change comes. Now that is why, as children of God, we don't have an option but to settle down like this and learn. Because many times, people are fighting to create a change that will never come because the key to the release of God's power for change, they have omitted it. You are getting the point I'm making? Listen, you want to change the top leadership in Nigeria? God says, fine, I am going to do it from your secondary school. What I mean by your secondary school? You'll be surprised. I say, okay, you'll be a school principal and settle down there. You'll be surprised that from there, he will generate 5 critical young men and women that the words you poured into them is what they will carry into politics in 20 years. Do you understand? But you not realize, you say, what am I doing here? I'm just a school principal. Then you leave that place and go and start a national transformation agenda incorporated by private citizens trying to make sure political agreements work incorporated. You now look for one name for it. Then you are every day speaking on TV. You will speak and speak and speak. One day you will be tired. One day you will have a heart attack and die. Why? Because the pressure of trying to change the country will have worn you out. Then you will die and say, surely I have spent my strength in nothing and for vanity. Why? And listen, you will have spent that 20 years laboring in vain. Meanwhile, if you have settled down where God says you should settle down, you'll be amazed at what he will have brought forth. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. So we must understand how God works. God says, change yourself. From inside you, a spirit will begin to flow that will change your environment. God says, change the way you behave. From your environment, do you understand? When people like you come to a critical mass in that environment, from you, a spirit will begin to flow that will change the whole nation. And that's why we're talking about the increase of the kingdom of God. Satan understands, and I said last time, he understands this principle. So what he is trying to do all the time is to pollute. And that is where we must be careful. You know why I went through all of this again? To let us understand that it is not the active thing we try to do concerning the spreading of the kingdom of God that's most important. But these little things, these passive things we do in ourselves first, is what allows God. That's the emphasis. It's what allows God. You see, I get testimonies a lot of times, okay? Strange people from strange places writing emails concerning how the word changed their life. I was discussing with my wife the other day. Do you know, I like the fact that you are blessed, amen?
Amen.
I like the fact that people are blessed, amen?
Amen?
But you know the funny thing? I don't even think that was very primary in my mind. You know, what I was just trying to do is, you know what God said to Jeremiah? Whatever I put in your mouth, just say it. That was my own. My own is that, all right, if God gives us understanding and he gives us a platform, we will teach and teach and teach and teach. Then he by himself, he begins to spread the word and use it to affect those who he wants it to affect. Listen, Christians, we are not. God didn't call you to come and labor hard. What he said is that allow me to do what I want to do. Most of your labors is a hindrance to what I am trying to do. Let me say this again. I said it last time. I need to say it again. Many of the books you read are the reasons why you won't succeed. The books are on success. The books are on 17 keys for rapid result success. The books are on managing the financial market for the interpretation of spiritual success. I don't know the meaning of that. I just talked that in the honesty. I just said it. And you will settle down diligently and you know apply all the principles. At the end of the day, you see, life is spiritual. God looks from heaven. I said before, promotion is a gift of God. Promotion is arranged by God. Nebuchadnezzar made the mistake. He forgot that issue when he looked and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? And David Pawson said, that's one of the worst things you can say in God's hearing. That's what David Pawson was explaining. That God hates pride. He, that is, when they told him, even God cannot sing the Titanic. Say this is an insult. Of a great order. A human being built a machine and said, I cannot destroy it. So God made it a point to destroy Titanic. On its maiden voyage, it went down. It never made one successful voyage. Because the man who designed and built it said, even God cannot sink the Titanic. And they called the full name the unsinkable Titanic. God said, all right, let's see. The man is convinced. That's why he allowed Al-Qaeda to bring down the Twin Towers. Because it was a symbol of man's glory. So God, he pulled it down. Show them a lesson. I want you to understand that. Okay? Now back to what I was saying. So you see, Nebuchadnezzar, it was God now made Nebuchadnezzar go crazy just to prove a point to him. I've been saying this again and again. It was not to show that I can make a man mental. That's a woman can make a man mental. So you don't need God. What God was doing to Nebuchadnezzar was not that mental state. It was the get out of the way state. Let me show you what happens in Babylon in your absence. For 7 seasons, we don't know whether it was exactly years, I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar was out of the way. And if you know the way things were at that time, his kingdom was preserved. Now, these were men who used to have food tasters so that they won't poison them. Yet, a man, Nebuchadnezzar, was now, he was totally off, like they say, non-compos mentis for a very long period. Yet his kingdom not only was sustained, it grew in his absence. Then the day his sense came back to him, they handed the kingdom back to him. That was the day the man realized that this kingdom was never my idea. The growth was never my idea. The sustenance has never been my idea. He began to worship God. Are you getting the point I'm making? What am I trying to say there? It's God that gives kingdoms to people. Do you follow my point? Last time I explained the principle that if you like, learn all the principles of developing a website and making billions. Most boys who are developing websites are going broke every day. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's a matter of fact. It is God that promotes people. That's what I'm trying to emphasize in all of these things. What God is just saying is that, allow me. Tell your neighbor, allow him.
Allow him.
Allow him.
Allow him.
Grace is it simply means that we allow God to do what he wants to do. When we're talking about increasing the kingdom of God, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. It's him that's going to do the work. What we are just trying to do is what Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, yet God, that it was God that gave the increase. What we are learning is how to plant properly, water properly, so that God can give the increase. We must never, ever think things are going to happen because we are smart. Listen, you know, I told you the other day, I was listening to a man, he said that when you see like what happened in America recently, they legalized the homosexual marriages across the nation. That's not what is annoying God. It is a sign that God is angry. That when people have annoyed God, What he now does is to give them over to foolishness. Do you understand? A man starts demanding that, why can't I marry a dog? Why can't my dog become my next of kin? Yes, things like that happen. And then, they will now go to the court, and court one day will grant it. While you are watching, unless something serious happens, the court will grant it. Now, he looks so foolish, yes. But he said it is when God has given men over to foolishness. That's when they start doing things that are foolish. What am I going to say? To retard such things from happening is not by manning a campaign, all right? Mounting a campaign against it. That's not what's going to stop it from happening. What is going to stop it from happening is creating the spiritual climate that prevents such things from happening. That's my emphasis. So that's why we're emphasizing like this, that the kingdom of God must first be established properly inside our hearts, inside our lives. Then the result outside is automatic. Do you get the point? It is that automaticity. Is that English good? Is it good? All right? That free flow is what I'm trying to emphasize. That if we do what is right, the flow is easy. We will plant, we will water, then God will do the increasing of his kingdom. Please, I hope we are clear there. Churches, sometimes they make that mistake. I want to talk about that again. And I say, okay, what do we want to do? We want to strategize so as to ensure that the kingdom is preached. And when I see the methods they are trying to use, those methods are the very reasons why the kingdom will not go forward. Once I was watching a program on TV, they were discussing whether it's right to use marketing methods for preaching the gospel. And people sat down for a very long time analyzing it. Now, let me say this. I won't discuss that in detail. Now, I'm trying to get down to my main message for today. If you use marketing methods that the world taught you, it is counterproductive. Hear what I said? Yeah. If you use marketing methods that you derive from what the world taught and what the world practices, you can be sure of one thing, it will be counterproductive. You will end up immunizing people against the gospel. What do I mean? You know, if you want to immunize somebody against polio or hepatitis or whatever it is, what do? You give them a little bit of it. Then when the real thing comes, the fellow is resistant. If you use a marketing method that the world taught, you know one of the things we do is, we were talking the other day in my house, yeah, Israel and me and his wife, we're just discussing that when analyzing the issue of Christian musicians and all of that, and that pastors like to use them to grow their church. Listen, people you drag in by music, they will scatter by bigger music. I hope you get my point. Yes, now if you bring, name one guy for me. Frank Edos to your church, give me another bigger man. Then when we come, they will follow. No, yes, it's true, it's true. You know, the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. That's what I want us to understand, okay? So that day, those people were discussing. The truth is this. Let me tell you, if you want to know whether something is good or bad, ask their disciples, their apostles, ask them, how did you do it? In their days, they did not use any of these our methods. And believe me, people were already doing entertainment that time. When they were killing the Christians, it was for entertainment. I hope you understand what I'm saying. When they take them to the arenas and have the lions, all right? The people were already gathering for entertainment. Why didn't the Christians use that method? You know why we use those methods? Ken Hagin said it's when we have lost the power. Oh, Ken Hagin says, when there's no power now, that if you were healing the sick and raising the dead, you know, you don't need anybody to sing to tell people to come. The gist will spread by itself. That place, they are healing the sick and raising the dead. This one that you need somebody to sing nicely to make people come is proof that there's no power. When Rehan Bunky wants to come to town, the name that pulls them is what? Rehan Bunky. Any other person that comes, better just come to come and lead praise. The people didn't, in fact, they endure you. They just endure, no matter how anointed you are as a musician, they just endure you. When is the man of God come? Do you understand my point? Yeah. It's like those who go to redemption camp. Do all the singing, all the talking, they are just waiting for Baba Gio to come. Some people lay their mat, put the pillow down, and lie down, tell their neighbor, when Papa starts, wake me up. I'm telling you the truth. They don't care. What am I trying to explain? The methods that we use, listen, is not the method of the world. How Coca-Cola sells Coca-Cola is not how we sell the gospel. No, it's not. Our method is of the Spirit. Many of the things people try to do outwardly is the reason why the spirit is hindered. Ask yourself, how did the disciples do it? What was their own method? What was their method? That's what I want us to understand. Please, I'm trying to get to something here, but so many things are coming to my mind. Just to let us know that what we need is to key into the mind of God. He will do what he wants to do. Many times what we are doing is preventing him from doing it. The example I gave last time was a young girl was there helping Paul to broadcast what was going on. Yet, her presence was a hindrance to the advancement of the gospel. Listen, no? That's why we're teaching like this. We just have to connect ourselves with the mind of God. Then he, that's what I was saying earlier, he will now do what he wants to do once we allow him. Please bear that in mind. Last time I said, one, of course, we are still talking about it, the fact that this kingdom must be firmly established in us. Number one, I said last time, is in our thought processes. We have no point reading. These are scriptures we all know. Romans chapter 12 says what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said before that what Satan wants to do is pollute. And when he wants to do that pollution, he won't come with something that looks very horrible. I was listening to Andrew Womack the other day. He said a man wanted, some people wrote him a, they sent him a brochure or something. They wanted to help him raise money for his ministry. And they said if he signs up, now they're going to collect maybe like 15-20%, I don't know, a percentage of the money that you raise. If he signs up, they guarantee him a certain amount of millions of dollars. I can't remember now. Then I mentioned it here when I first heard him say that thing. Let me just mention this. I can't remember this. But let's just assume $2 million. That one is guaranteed. And they showed him how they have helped another big ministry raise money. So, of course, he invited them over to come and discuss. When they finished, every method they wanted to use, in his own opinion, they were not honest. They were going to print flyers, make a very beautiful booklet and send to all his partners. Like maybe you come to kwm.com.ng, our website. I show you, okay, what we are up to now. You click on it. You see beautiful pictures of maybe orphanages we are building. How we are helping the poor in Serbia. Now, I'll show you all the people that we are helping in Moscow. We are helping, of course, in South Sudan. You look at all of those things and say, oh, this minister. And then so say, if you join hands with me, they start saying all kinds of stories. And these things work. The way people reason about it is that when we get the money, we use the money to preach the gospel. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. Satan knows you will reason like that. And that's why he offers that. Make sure that whenever you want to get any result in life, your method is pure. Listen, don't ever judge how well you are doing by the result you are getting. Judge how well you are doing by the purity of your methods. I want you to understand that. Never judge how well you are doing in life by the results. Judge how well you are doing by how pure your methods are. If you come out from the market one day, say, today, did we lie to any customer? No. Did we keep change back? No. That is, when you finish like that, did we help those who needed help? Were we willing to refer customers to our neighbors when they had things better than our own? Yes. When you said, then know you are doing good business. Know that you are doing good business. Don't check, first of all, your cash flow. You have something you are selling? No, don't ever sell phones like Nokia. No Nokia. Phones that, things that are written to look like Nokia. Samsung. U-phone. I'm telling you, as believers, there are things you don't go near. Once it looks devious, it looks like the fellow is trying to deceive, don't participate. If you want to sell a Chinese product, look at this, Junjuan. Let them see it clearly. All this Nokia and Samsung is the reason why God will punish you tomorrow. Are you getting my point? When you get back home, say, today have I deceived anybody? No. That is a sign you are progressing. That is a sign you are progressing. If you are the one manning a filling station, you own a filling station, be the one, be the Department of Petroleum Resources controlling your own office. Every day go, measure your gauge, check to be sure it is dispensing the correct amount. If you say, I won't make money like that, increase your price. If you say, no, the government will not allow me to increase my price, shut down the station. You know what I noticed? I was reading this morning, I just opened my Bible. And I keep on saying that Jesus said, if your eye causes you to stumble, there's a word I kept on jumping. He said, right. He said, if your right hand, go and read it. Jesus didn't just say your hand. If your right hand, you know what was trying to say? For men, for human beings, right hand refers to your strength, the place you are getting money from, the thing you go out every day to go and do. If your business is causing you to stumble, cut it off. It struck me that he said right hand. Not just any hand. You want to know whether you are doing well business-wise? It's not cash. You know, anytime I watch, what do you call it, financial reports, either CNN or Bloomberg or whatever it is, any of these financial networks, I said, this one, you can see, is worldliness. This is Satan being served. I said, this is Satan. And said, I'm going to check it. Listen, as I go on there, one of the things I actually want to explain today is that one of the reasons why we can't spread the kingdom is that we don't fully believe in it. You see what I mean in a moment? We don't fully believe in the kingdom. It's one major reason why we're unable to spread it. What do I mean? Now, this financial report I'm telling you about, quarterly reports, quarterly earnings, they focus on it so much. In fact, I don't know how the deal has gone now, but Michael Dell, as of last year, decided to buy the company back from the public domain. That has been a publicly traded company. He said he's tired. Mary Kay Ash did the same thing. She said to run Mary Kay Cosmetics the way she wanted, she couldn't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry putting their mouth inside. Over the last few years, Dell has been losing market share. All right? So last year, Dell now said, look, I'm going to buy this company back. It was going to be supported by Microsoft and some banks. He said, listen, that he's tired of the pressure. That's why I'm talking about it. He's tired of the pressure of quarterly performance. That you don't build a company trying to perform every quarter. When I watch financial reports, you've heard me say before, as a child of God, if you start a company, don't take it public. If for any reason you must, make sure that at least 51% of the shares you hold. Otherwise, once you lose control, let me tell you the truth, even that one, be very careful before you accept. One major reason why companies go public, I'll tell you, is because it's the only way you can sell the future of the company and get the money today. Now, what do I mean by that? Facebook is growing. It was growing. As long as it belonged to Mark Zuckerberg and the people who sponsored it, those boys will never be billionaires. The only day you will accept that they are billionaires is when the shares are out there, they are now publicly quoted, and the world cannot be lying to you, you are a billionaire. The value of the share is perception. Please, I'm bringing out something. I hope I'm not getting people confused. I'm using that to explain the fact that the world, what they do, when people give over, that is, when you start buying the ideas of the world, they create confusion in anything you want to do in life. I'm going to teach Christians, all right? Don't let the world tell you whether you are rich or you are poor. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Because what they are doing is lying to you. Because of that, they are pressured. That's what people, that's what I was talking about. So people want to be called billionaires. So they go public. That's the desire. It's not, if people want to generate some more money, that is to be able to do operations, yes, I know. But I'm going to explain one thing. Don't let that one decide for you whether you are doing well or you are not doing well. The world only measures by finances, cash. I told the story before, Henry Ford, that's why he refused to borrow one copper from any bank. He said they don't know anything about business. That money is a tool. Service is more important. that the business is not about money. The business is about service. That's what I'm trying to explain. The world must never tell you whether you are rich or poor. For you, the assessment of your prosperity must be how much of righteousness have I done? How much of righteousness? This man, I was telling you about Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack said, he looked at these people. You are going to make me do all of these things because I will not have money to preach the gospel. Like Peter, your money perish with you. Get out of here. He drove the men out. How can I use a lie? Because they were going to lie on his behalf. But if he judged it by how much money you will have, to now start doing what he calls ministry. And I was talking about today about Satan. That's Satan. Satan will bring, he brings what looks good. He will explain to you. You two are going to be wise. You say, uh-huh. But by trying to do what is right, they were disobeying God. And that's the key, that is the check. That is the check. Okay, when we finish making this money, we will now preach the gospel. But how we make it is more important to God than whether we give it to the gospel or we don't. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that, and that is why he tries to paint it to people. When he wants to pull it, he makes it look nice. It doesn't matter. When you finally do this one now, people will know. After by that time, you now have money to help the poor. I see that's a priority in the heart of God. I like what that man of God said. He said, God loves righteousness more than he loves people. When you put it on the scale, if everybody dies, God remains God. If God does unrighteousness, he's no longer God. The foundation of his throne is righteousness, not people. So for God, righteousness is more important than human beings. So you cannot say, I want to help people. It's why I'm corrupting righteousness. God said, no, I won't accept that. That argument is totally flawed. That argument is totally flawed. Remember what I'm talking about business? Let me emphasize it to you. Never measure your success. First of all, about money. No, money is last. I told you before, there are a number of reasons why Christians do business. One is to promote righteousness. To establish righteousness. To help people, that is service, that is God has put a skill inside you to disseminate that good thing that God has placed inside you into the environment. That's another one. Money is number, I don't have time to really remember it now, but money is like the bottom. Money is just a tool. It's just a measure of whether we are doing business or we are not. Because if we are losing money every day, something is wrong with what we are doing. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. So what's the point we are making? That if we put these things down properly, correctly, the kingdom will advance. I've said this again and again. God is not first of all, I was quoting something for last time, that what God wants now in this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people who are pure, blameless, and who can prove that they can live in this world, that is, it is possible to live in this world a clean, upright, and decent life. God is not looking for people to be doing something. He wants them to be something. It is what they are that's most important. He's not first of all looking for an evangelizing people or a serving people. He's looking first of all for a holy people who will represent his holiness in the world and shine like stars in a dark and dim world. That's what the Lord is looking for. Now back to what the scripture we started with today. I hope you've got my point there. I need to keep reinforcing this thing. Now we'll start by reading from the book of Psalms. Now, okay, there's another principle that I wanted to explain while I started talking like this. I mentioned this one last time. Let me quickly say it before I read that Psalm 16 again. I'll bring out the things we're looking for from it. I said, what controls our life? I said last, I want to just emphasize it again, briefly. It is not the time we want to take actions that will decide what we will do. The actions are an overflow of what's deep inside the heart. Are you getting my point? That's why Jesus said, this is the way you know it. Thou shalt not commit murder. But I'm telling you, if you hold anger in your heart against your brother, you're already a murderer. What was he trying to say? By the time a man commits murder, It's not that time that he wanted to commit murder. It is that before then, something was inside his heart. And then when that thing erupted, it brought forth murder. So God looks at the thing beneath that's hidden inside the heart, not just the outward work. I said last time, stealing as an example. Thou shalt not steal. That's a commandment. It's wrong for Christians to steal. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus. I'm distilling from many things now. The Lord Jesus says, stealing is not my primary issue with you as my children. Stealing is a manifestation of covetousness that is inside the heart. Lack of contentment. So it is not like, will I steal or will I not steal? Many people emphasize on, let me not steal. No, that's not it. And that's why God allowed, you know, I explained this one before. That was why God allowed David. In fact, if you ask me, God thoroughly set David up. That was why I allowed him to collect Bathsheba and kill Uriah. God didn't command David, go and kill Uriah. I'm not saying he did that. Please don't misquote me. In fact, I can say this anyway. Uriah was going to die, one way or the other. God said, well, since David is going to kill somebody, Uriah is going to die, let David kill Uriah. Why? Because murder was in the heart of David. He did not know. Adultery was in the heart of David. He did not know. But the grace of God, the mercy of God had kept him in check. But the man was going to finish life, that thing still inside his heart. So God said, the only way we get it out is if he knows it is there. That the only way David will let this thing go is if he knows it is there. This one that he's raising shoulder, the boy doesn't get the point. So the angels that used to protect him from committing adultery, that day the Lord called them to go and do another job. You think that's the first day Bathsheba is bathing? The girls have been bathing for a long time. But the angels did not let him see. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? When David did what he did, and that's what the Lord wanted, he finally broke down and confessed out of his heart the thing that was hidden there all the while. That because of the prosperity and the blessing of God around him, he thought it couldn't be there. That's why he started saying, purify me, wash me, cleanse me with hyssop. Search me, O Lord. The man got the point after that. Because until he had killed Uriah, he did not know he was capable of it. By the time Joab murdered, what was that guy that Joab murdered? Abner. You know, David was like, how can he do this? David did not know. Abner was an enemy before. Yet, it was wrong for Joab to shed the blood of war in the time of peace. Yet, Uriah was never an enemy. David did not know he could kill Abner. Please, I hope you are following my point. Listen, I'm not explaining that people try to control their actions at that point. It's not the action. The action is an overflow of something that is deep inside the heart. That's the principle of life. That's why constantly be washing your heart with the word of God. And you have to pray when you say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. That prayer is very valid. Now, please, it is a principle I want to just bear it in mind, all right? Now, why did I say all of this? I made a statement earlier. I was talking about the advance of the kingdom of God. I made a statement earlier that one of the problems why the kingdom of God suffers is that the people of the kingdom are not even thoroughly persuaded about it. The other time we talked about kingdom life. Please go and get the series. And then I try to explain about kingdom culture. Now, one of the things I want to bring up from there here is this. That culture of the kingdom, it has its own results. Now, what am I trying to say? For example, we talk as if God wants everybody to be a billionaire. God is not interested in that. Many people learn righteousness when deep inside their heart, I still must make it. It's what is. That's the core of their. I don't know whether I get my point. It's the core of their substance. I still must make it. In this life, me too, I must be rich. That thing is more important to them than any other thing. When people tell me the Holy Spirit says I should, I told you before, that statement doesn't move me at all. You know why? They just remove the word holy and just say my spirit. And when they say that, yes, I can latch onto that and discuss. Because what we call my spirit, the Holy Spirit is often just 15%. What they call my spirit. The Holy Spirit is 15%. The anger he has towards his neighbor is 5%. The expectation of his father is 25%. The pressure of the society, that is his friends, where he's from, is 18%. His own personal likes and dislikes that he has not cured himself off with the word of God is the rest of it. That one that he calls the Holy Spirit, the one I call the Holy Spirit that is 15%, is a combination of the Spirit of Christ in him and the word of God he has learnt. Accounting for only 15% of the thoughts coming to his heart, the precious in his soul. But somebody told him that, how do you hear the voice of the Spirit? You pray, pray, pray until your spirit is quiet. Your spirit can never be quiet. He starts telling you things. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, okay, they say that's the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, it is not. That is why a pastor will divorce his wife today and the Holy Spirit will tell him to marry on that one next week. It is that same voice that told him to start that ministry. It is that same voice that led him to do a lot of good works. So he thinks it is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when he wanted to start that ministry, what is pressuring him now was not there then. That's why I tell Christians, just say things like, it seems good to me. I perceive. There's a pressure in me. I perceive it's my spirit telling me to do this. When you talk like that, then we can reason with you. Because sometimes we should reason with you. You should be able to tell a man, say, brother, wait now. You married this girl, we're there 9 years ago. How come Holy Spirit telling you to divorce her? You they mad? We'll be able to shake you. But you know, once you just throw Holy Spirit in our faces, we are handicapped. We have to wait for you to fail first. And we're praying for you that the results of your deed will be clear rapidly. You're not going to say, Holy Spirit, is talking? Say, no, bless the Holy Spirit, don't stop. Say, now, let me now talk to you. No, you know why I'm saying all of these things? Many times I see Christians make decisions a lot of times, and they tell me it's God. And I just look at them and say, you see, if it was just always God like that, Paul would not have talked about perfect, it's a strong meat belonging to those who by reason of use have learned to discern some things. Experience helps you as a believer to know what is right, what is wrong. So my Christians make decisions and I'm looking at them and say, you don't understand. You say, the Holy Spirit is leading me to live here and I'll go to Abuja. Sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit. You've done business here for 5 years, it hasn't worked. Then your friend told you last year, Abuja is a good place for business like yours. Now listen to me, there's nothing wrong with it. Is that Holy Spirit as our argument? What is actually pushing you is that you think the business will do well when you get to Abuja. Don't throw Holy Spirit in my face. Do you want to go to Abuja? Yes, please go. When you are going, commit your way unto the Lord. Do you get my point? Trust in him. Say, Lord, I want to go to Abuja because I have done this business in Enugu for 5 years. I think doors will be better open. And listen, do you know the truth? You could be right. You want to go, say, I am going. Why? These are my reasons. Let us pray about it. Father God, this is the thing. You know what I'm saying? So when you behave like that, if that going would not be a blessing to you, then the Holy Spirit can stop you. Then he can give you information you did not have before. Someone just come to me and say, do you know why the business was doing well before? Because of this, now that one has ended. That thing has now moved to Kaduna. You want to go to Kaduna? You go check. It's too close to Boko Haram. I want to go. You see what I'm saying? But if you don't commit your way actively and lay that in, you know, there's a reason why I'm saying all of this. I believe somebody's being helped. What I'm saying this is this. Many things that people are calling Holy Spirit, it is what David called anxious thoughts deep inside their hearts. The thing is hidden inside. But they don't know it is there. For example, this one is very common. There are those who just feel that, like I said earlier, this life, I just have to make it. They've tried Nigeria for a few years. It doesn't work. It didn't work. Then You know, this is just the reality of today's world. Everybody, even the Muslims that hate Americans, they believe that America is a good place. They will shout, grace Satan, then do visa lottery. If you really believe it's grace Satan, why are you going there? Everybody believes it's a good place. So the man who deep inside his heart, he wants to succeed in life, he now starts plotting and say, the Holy Spirit says I should go to America. And let me tell you something, if you press hard enough, virtually any door will open to you, whether it's the door of God or it's not the door of God. If you press hard enough, virtually any door will open to you, whether it's of God or it's not of God. I'm always telling Christians, if something is getting, because one of the ways God helps you in life to make something not work easy. Now your name is Balaam. You want to go where you're not supposed to go. Things are going wrong. Your donkeys were carrying anyhow. Just turn. Donkey that has been serving you well all these years. Bishop, why do you want to tell me a story of you wanted to go and talk to the boy, the man you were working for before? On the way, your car was filled with smoke. You know, filled with smoke, like the Temple of Solomon, filled with smoke. He wanted to go and tell the man things that the Holy Spirit did not want him to say. Now, he was sure his spirit said he should go. Don't think he was obeying the spirit. He had prayed about it that this man, I would tell him all of these things. So I had his car that decided driving. Then suddenly, he looked. And somebody was giving a burnt offering somewhere around the car. And the car was filled with smoke. So he parked. Let's make a long story short. Till today, the car was never repaired because nobody could find what was wrong. Did you find any wire burning? He didn't see any oil dripping anywhere. The source of that smoke till today, he never knew. I think the next day, the car worked normally. Next day, started the car again, worked normally. But that day, the angel said, you are not going anywhere. And he was smart enough to gently turn and go back home. Call the electrician, look, checked everywhere. The source of that smoke was never found. That's how the Lord works sometimes. But a lot of Christians, they said, the devil doesn't want me to go. I said, be careful. The devil cannot stop you. Sometimes, look, listen, if your donkey that has been serving you very well suddenly starts moving towards the wall, don't beat the donkey. Tell the donkey, wait, sit down first. You will sit down and say, why are you not moving? Go back home. That's one of the ways by which the Lord leads. Hey, I'm trying to get my message out. I just feel like somebody's dragging things out of my spirit. What you should do is to take heed to your spirit. That is the foundation. No, there's a series we have on radio titled Understanding the Will of God. I tried to explain this thing there. The will of God is not, do I know how to hear voices? You can't learn that thing. If God wants to speak to you, he will speak to you. If he doesn't want to speak to you, you can't force him. When he started talking to Samuel, Samuel did not even know that phenomenon existed. The will of God is, do I know how to dream dreams? How can you force yourself to dream dreams? Most of the dreams you force yourself to dream, they are dreams of your, if you just say, I knew Angelina is a woman God has chosen. Why? Because I've been dreaming of her for the last 2 nights. You like the girl. Will of God is not, do I know how to dream dreams? The will of God is something you get to understand. What do I mean? The more you walk in sanctification, he said, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That is, sanctification is broad, all right? But sanctification is actually what you pursue as the will of God. And then this outward manifestation, should I be in Enugu, or should I be in Lagos, or should I be in Port Harcourt, or should I go to America? They come out naturally out of the heart that's sanctified. So do I learn how to hear God? No. As a child of God, no. You learn how to hear the word and have the word purify your heart. And once your heart is pure, the Holy Spirit, in fact, Oswald Chambers said that the will of God is a natural life for the child of God who's walking in sanctification and is totally united with God. That everything the man does is the will of God. That if it is not the will of God, the Holy Spirit will stop him. Oswald Chambers says that What is a child of God supposed to do? Make sure, I'm using my own words now, make sure your heart is pure, make sure you are totally united with God, and God will work his will out in your life. Many people, they are deep thoughts. David said, "Search me, O Lord, and check my anxious thoughts." Many of the anxious thoughts of the hearts of people is the reason why they can never hear God. I have seen a man I told before, a preacher. I said, and that day I first stood up in my spirit to tell him that the way you are going about this matter in the area of money and all that is not good. I sat him down and said, "Please, I need to talk to you about something." As I was talking, I saw my words bouncing back in my face. As I was thinking, I said, "Relax. You are too under pressure to succeed." He was just looking at me and smiling. I knew I was talking to a wall. After that, you start hearing, "Holy Spirit said I should do this." Holy Spirit did not say. The man has what? Anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. They are inside him. Take this marriage matter as an example. Many people, their choices are confused. Holy Spirit is trying to talk, he can't talk. Why? Anxious thoughts. My mother suffered, I must not suffer. My father suffered, I must not suffer. Those, and I've told you before, if you need money, it is not a problem. Use the method of Jabez. You can't marry a man or even a woman, because I hear people also do it. You can't marry to get out of poverty. It is not possible. If you have a poverty spirit and you marry a rich man and your spirit is stronger than his own, you will ruin both of you. If you have a prosperity spirit and your spirit is strong, whether you're a man or a woman, you marry anybody, you will make him or her rich. You can never marry to get out of poverty. You can postpone the manifestation for a few years, but once you enter into that guy's life, he's in trouble. That is it. Bad luck will start. Container will start falling. Ship will sink. Contract paper, it won't come out. He will execute contract, they will not pay. Why? Because Jonah has entered into his boat. May he not throw you out into the... What am I going to explain? We cannot... So many people, they think, what's the will of God? Ask the man, what is the anxious thought? I've talked to people before. God can bless you anywhere. He said, no. That is... He was fixated. I have somebody in mind right now. He was fixated on the place where he has made up his mind that money is plentiest. Is that English? Okay. You know, I keep on manufacturing words. Is it correct? It's not correct now. It's plentiest. Oh, Lord. The Lord is good. Okay, let's say the correct English. Where money is most plentiful or most abundant. Now, these are the anxious thoughts inside people's hearts sometimes. When they can start telling you that Holy Spirit said, yeah, and the Holy Spirit said, me? Why would I say such a thing? Listen, even when the Holy Spirit is speaking, don't depend on those voices you heard. Listen, you know what I'm saying, so? The details of what the Holy Spirit is saying, the extent to which you receive it is dependent on your ability to receive it. The example that I use all the time, assuming God wants you to leave Lagos and go to, let's say, come to Enugu, and you're a typical Lagos boy, it is worse, eh? If you are of Yoruba descent, you are from the West. You know, if you are an Igbo man, you grew up in Lagos, at least your father has gone to the village. Even if you haven't come, your father goes. But it's worse when your mother is from Ogun State, your father is from Oyo State, and both of them married and you were born in Lagos and you grew up there. University, the secondary school, you were in Suleri. Primary school, you were in Mushin. Secondary school, you were in Suleri. University, Unilag. When they posted it for NYSC, just to ordinary Kogi State, your father redeployed you and you served in Alausa Ikeja. The Holy Spirit now says you should go to Enugu. You know, there are dreams that even God will be reluctant to give you. Yeah, you think God likes to cause trouble? He doesn't like it. He said, I just made this boy disobey me anyhow. I have to judge him. So when his spirit wants to come to Enugu, you know what he does? He all pushes you down, small. Then you wake up one morning, the Holy Spirit says, my son, thou shalt arise and go to Enugu. You know what you will hear? Shagam. Yeah, because that is the only one you can tolerate from Lagos. You say, brethren, my spirit is saying we should move to Shagam. That God said, at least that's better than Lagos. Then when you have lived outside Lagos for a while, suddenly realize that I won't die. Then one day you pray. And then the voice of the Lord came out to me saying, my son, move towards, what does he move to Enugu? He said, move towards the east. What I tell you is a matter of fact. And that one, you will arise and maybe chase a woman to Benin. God said, fine. And that is closer to Enugu than Lagos. Then traveling to Benin up and down to go and chase woman. You now see that people in Benin are human beings. They didn't die because they didn't stay in Lagos. You know, that kind of thing. You've passed a night there, seen your friends there, you've gone around the town. It's not bad, though. Then one day while you're in Benin, of course, the girl no go marry you. Amen. She was just used by God to let you move a little bit closer. And one day while you're in Benin, some of your friends say, let's just drive down to Nature. He said, oh, Nature, yeah. What's God doing? God is persuading him to move. So one day when I wake up in the morning, then suddenly the Holy Spirit says, my son, move to Enugu. He said, Enugu, don't worry, you'll pass on it. Enugu is quieter. You know, see, sometimes it takes the Lord 10 years to do this thing I've told you. Sometimes it takes him 10 years. The man will be hearing, God said I should go to Shagam. From there, God said I should go to Benin. God said I should visit Onitsha. Then God said, finally, when he reaches Enugu, God said, praise God. Can God say praise God? You know, there was something that God said concerning mankind at the time. He said, my spirit will not always contend with man. God does not have a problem with contending with people for a while. It's when they show stubbornness. Like that kind of hypothetical young man now. Maybe when the Lord opened the door for him to go to Shagam, and this is how God persuades you. He starts telling you things. For example, I am thy shield and your exceedingly great reward. Anytime they are preaching, you are hearing that statement. You are hearing that statement. What that statement telling you? Don't worry. God is with you everywhere you go. God used that one to bring him down to Shagam and in the first instance. So that contention with him has reduced. The one that God has as a problem is people who will refuse to shift. I've seen those times before. And after a long time, God stops talking. Then the man says, the Lord said I should stay here. God didn't argue with him. Like Ken Hagin will say, that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord told him that I bless him as much as I can. But I can't bless him fully. Why? He's not in the center of my will for his life. The mistake people make, they think that you enter into the center of God's will by knowing how to hear accurately. No, not at all. You know why? It is impossible to hear if your heart is not right. It is impossible. Until God persuades that young man, he can never tell him to go to Enugu. The Lord will say to him, the filter in his heart will block it. The closest he can hear is Shagam. God said, no problem. But he keeps persuading him. Where are we dragging him to? Listen, and that, you read the story of Abraham. You start wondering whether, Abraham was not the first, they tell the Abraham of Ur. Oh, Abraham did not move from Ur. His father moved from Ur. Abraham was not the one that moved. His father took him and his brother and all of that, and they started moving. The father got somewhere and died there. The Abraham now took off from there. When they want to talk about Abraham, you would think he's the one that made the decision to start from the beginning. Sometimes God moves people in stages. Like I keep on saying, it is not everything that God does that is totally perfect. Sometimes he improves upon them. Not because anything is wrong with him. He looked at the man and said, it is not good that this man be what? Alone. There can be an improvement. You have obeyed God so thus far. There can be an improvement. Because God cleanses your heart, it makes it easier for you to understand. Many people are shouting, gosh, reveal your will, reveal your will. God says, you see, I can't. If I try it, I bring forth judgments to you. Because if I make it clear you disobey it, you're in trouble. So what do? I start pushing you gently, nudging you. I start teaching you. Say, I must marry a rich man so that my life will be good. God say, listen. Go and listen to the truth. Jabez's method is the only way out of poverty. Marriage is never a way out of poverty. You learn that, your heart is free. Sometimes, listen, God will tell you, there are many things God will teach you along the line. Look at this money matter. He said, listen, money is I give people as a gift. It's not always attached to what they do. Many things that people do in Nigeria today that's making money. I was young. If you're an actor in Nigeria, you were poor. I still remember Lola Fanny Kayode that wrote Mirror in the Sun. I don't know how many of you, if you're old enough to watch Mirror in the Sun. Mirror in the Sun was something every Nigerian watched. Lola Fanny Kayode did not make a dime from writing Mirror in the Sun. In this country. The day she went to one newspaper to report what NTA did to her, the man who wrote the story said she was crying. I don't know what I get the point. You write a program that the whole of the country gather every Sunday evening to watch. In today's Nigeria, you're made. Alainka, you were telling me how Linda Ekeji, how much does he sell one small slot on her blog? For how many days?
A month.
For her to put a small square inch of your advert there. 300K a month. Lola Fanny Kayode gathered the whole of Nigeria every Sunday for I don't know how long, Mirror in the Sun. Yes, she didn't make a cobble. If it is now, what joke is what this man, Mr. Ebu cracking? That no, it's true now that what the name of this our man, the one that does adverts a lot, Zebudaya. I can't quote anything Mr. Ebu says. Zebudaya taught us English. Taught us all kinds of this. You're getting my point. Those people acted, but do you know what? They didn't make any money. That time, they didn't. Why? The situation was different. One day I was in Enugu here, I was driving. Somebody said, drive over there. I was my mechanic. Went to buy something somewhere. He said, move. The man was a very funny man. He said, banker, I said, move now. I said, okay, wait, just move. So I shifted there. He said, stop. He said, that's Emmanuel Okala. The man was sitting under a tree. I said, Jesus. You don't know Emmanuel Okala? Oh, you people are young. I'm talking. I was shocked. Emmanuel Okala was Nigerian. Then that was the meaning of being a goalkeeper. Now, if you can keep as well as Emmanuel Okala, you're an automatic multi-millionaire. These things they've not always made money. You know what I'm saying? This? The one that will make money in 10 years, you don't know today. That's what I'm trying to explain. So God says, don't worry. Just do what I have asked you to do. Anything you want, ask. This one that today, if you tell your father that the man I want to marry is a pastor, he says, your father is not feeling bad. It's okay. When I was young, I want to marry a pastor. Village meeting on your head. But now, when the pastor comes, you look outside. Probably has a Bentley parked outside. The Lord is good. My God is not a poor God. That's changed. I told you, there's one man I know. Sing in those days. He started a church because pastors had become respected. They begin to prosper. But Christian musicians had not begun. He became a pastor. His singing ministry died down. By the time the people doing music now began to collect the pepper, he had been relegated to the back. The Lord is good. Why did I say all of this? Remember, I was trying to explain the fact that we have things in our hearts. Remember I said that? And I said it's what people have in their hearts as secrets, anxious thoughts. It affects how they behave. And what comes out of our lives are not the things we deliberately want to do, but the things that are natural overflows of what is inside our heart. And that was why we write Psalm 16. Back to Psalm 16. David says something. Let me just read one line. Maybe we'll develop it further next time. Many people, what's inside their heart? Success. I must do well. David said, no, I have set the Lord continually before me, in verse 8. He said, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He said, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Now, this was a prophetic word. This is one of those messianic psalms. This was a prophetic word. Actually, it was uttered by the Lord Jesus. This was not uttered by David. Peter used it to explain something later. These were the words of our Lord Jesus, but then the Holy Spirit allowed David to see these things long ahead. Like, this is one that they used to prove that the resurrection was going to happen. That you will not let your Holy One undergo decay. That's why he rose up on the third day. Now, so it was actually the Lord Jesus that was saying this. But then let's just take it the way it is on the face value initially. What was David trying to explain to us? Now, if we back up a bit, you see something. He said, the sorrows of those who have battled for another God will be multiplied, in verse 4. He said, but for me, in verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. That is, you are the one that sustains the things that belong to me. Now listen to this. He said, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance. If you jump to verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord continually before me. Now look at it. Verse 5 says, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. He said, I have set the Lord continually before me. Let me just put it like this so that we can close. What was David trying to say? What is my goal? What is the thing I'm pursuing? That's why I kept on talking about this anxious thought matter. All right? What is it that's most important to me? I keep on saying this. Outward success is not the issue for believers. I said something along the line that one of the major problems is that Christians are not even fully persuaded concerning this kingdom thing. If they were, it would be easier for the kingdom to spread. It would be easier for the kingdom to advance. For example, you're working in an office. People should know, not as a show-off matter, we talked about that under the kingdom life, that the goal of this man is not the same as the rest of us. Like we're talking about business matter now. You work in the market, you have your business place there. People should know that this guy, integrity is more important to him than profit. That's not because they are trying to show them, but it just comes out of your life. And why would that be? Because you have set the Lord continually before you. And you understand, like he said in verse 5, that the Lord is a portion of my inheritance. What was he trying to say here? That is the thing I'm trying to gain. Let me summarize it, just make use simple words. Is to be found pleasing in the sight of God at all times. You get what I'm going to say here. That's why David was saying that I have set the Lord continually before me. That is where I am moving towards. That is the goal of my life, to become exactly like him. That is what is driving. Like I said something before, listen. You want to make a decision, am I leaving Enugu and going to Lagos, is one simple question you ask yourself. How does that draw me closer to the center of the will of God for my life? If the only thing it does is that it gives me more money, just know you have missed God before you started. That's what I'm trying to explain. It is those things that now decide whether you can understand the will of God or you can't. It's not whether you have learned to pray till your ears start picking signals. Like I said before, if you read my little book, So What is God's Will Here? I said sometimes when people say, what is God's will? What they are actually asking is not what the Bible calls God's will. A young man takes a picture of three women and says to a prophet, which one should I marry amongst them? Say, which one is the will of God? Listen, when you say, what's the will of God? What are you trying to say? What many people are saying is that, these guys, which one will be richest of the three in 15 years? That's not the will of God. This woman, which one will give me everything that a man wants in a woman? That's not the will of God. What is the will of God concerning husband and wife? It's simple. I was created on purpose. There's a reason why God gave me life. Are you getting my point? With whom will I fulfill the will of God for my life? Who will I help to fulfill the will of God
for her life or his life. I always like to tell the story of my friend, Pastor Courage. When he came to pursue the woman he's married to now, if I just look and say, thank God God chose his wife. You marry a woman, carry her to Sokoto, God had better speak to her. Yeah. The lady was not praying. When you're marrying a pastor who went to start the church in Sokoto, you should know that your prayer is not, which is the richest of them all. It was a simple case of, how will I help the ministry, the work of God, the kingdom of God advance on this earth? What was I created to be? When you ask the right questions, you get the right answers. Many people, they've not been able to hear what God is saying because they are asking the wrong questions. They're asking the wrong questions. So David said here, I have set the Lord continually before me. And that's what I'm going to explain. When we set the Lord continually before us, you'll be amazed how easy it is to do what is right in life. I said before, people say, I don't want to steal. You will steal as long as you are intimidated by the presence of a rich man. Until God builds you to a level where inside you, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them. What's your problem? Do you understand? When you get to that level, stealing will never happen to you again. That's what I'm going to explain. It is what we have deep inside our heart. David said it here. The Lord. Now, there's something I want to bring out. Because, I want to add this one to it then so I can quickly close. In verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. And you sustain my lot. Or you support my lot. I'm mixing two versions there. In verse 6, it now says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Let me just quickly explain what that means. He was saying this, that is, they are casting lots. That is, you divide portions of land. Who will take this one? So they just randomly select for each person. What was he saying? As long as the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, is my cup, is the person I'm living to please, what will come to me spontaneously by accident will be pleasant. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said to you earlier, you don't succeed in life because you know how to use all the methods of success. You succeed in life because the Lord is a portion of your inheritance and is the one sustaining your lot. That is how it is. So for those of us believers, that's what I'm preaching. If we have these things in our heart, then God can easily do what he wants to do in our lives. There are people who are listening to me today, maybe you never thought in your life you're going to be a preacher. And your major problem is that this one that people are living by offering, you don't understand it too. Are you getting my point? Yeah, I know people like that's why they want. I remember one of our brothers, when people like us were trying to know whether Sam was in the middle of the Bible or not, whether it was the edge, these guys were decoding scriptures. Till today, is the man preaching anyway? I'm not aware. What is the reason? The only thing that I remember is that when we were in school, the man insisted, no going into ministry until I've made it in life. And you know such things, God normally will let the thing delay well. 30 years later, you still haven't made it. Because the business has to be moving, then when the business is flowing by itself, they cannot sustain itself, then I cannot leave and not go and start preaching. That is one reason why some people don't obey the will of God. A lot of people are called to ministry. That's their problem. They are busy pursuing the business so that when the business has stabilized, it can now run. They now appoint a manager. So that when I'm preaching, people will know I'm not preaching for money. Who cares what you are preaching for? If you are not preaching for money, we will know you are not preaching for money. It's not whether you are rich or not. What am I explaining? Let me just summarize it there. David said, I have set the Lord constantly before me. Continually before me. That is the person I'm looking at every day. I just want to be pleasing to him. I've removed every other thing from my eyes. I'm not focused on I want to succeed in life. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I've just set the Lord constantly before me. I said earlier, and that's what I'm summarizing with. If we put the kingdom of God, all right, firmly in our hearts, and the thing is the center of our focus as believers, it will spread easily. The summary, what are you living for? That's the summary. What are you living for? You know, when Twin Towers collapsed, they say a man came out of it. Before that, he wanted to succeed financially in life. After the building collapsed in a few, you know, in one day, he came out and said, I will never live for material things again. So now when I look at some of our people that enter government and steal money, my wife and I will sit down and say, what do people want to do with the money? What? You steal $1 billion in cash, you're a very poor man. Yeah, those people that call people like Bill Gates, it's not cash they have, it's value they produced. What I'm going to say, listen, for us believers, you ask yourself, what am I living for? That's what I just want to ask you to think. What is it that you will die one day and you say, I've achieved in this life? It must not be something that when the fire of God falls at the end of time to burn up this whole earth, it will be destroyed with it. It mustn't be. It must be something that cannot be destroyed. That's what I'm trying to explain. You see, if you have a mindset like that, then God cannot do what he wants to do through us on this earth, and he can make the kingdom advance. That's what I'm trying to explain. But a lot of people claim they are following Christianity, they are following it as a way to you know, the goal is not the law set securely before them. It's me too, I must succeed in that village. It's set before me. I use any method to get there. I won't steal, I'm a Christian. So I will sow a seed to get there. So all the seeds are not towards, the God is not before them. It is me too, I must make it in this life. And you are living your life to, that is, you cannot live as a human being living for material things. You crazy? That's a wasted life. It's a wasted life. Like I keep on telling Christians, don't forget, one day Jesus will actually return. That is not a joke. It's not our religion. It's a fact. One day you will stand before the judgment seat and you say, Lord, I built a skyscraper in my village. Did I not try? Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you will say, I lived on the earth, I advanced the kingdom, I advanced the knowledge of Christ by one, walking righteously, and two, deploying my gifts for the advancement of the knowledge of Christ. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're supposed to live for. Listen, we have that mindset. Trust me, God will do his thing. He will do his thing. And many of the things we are worried about, he will take good care of them. Listen, poverty is not a problem at all. God can easily take care of it like this. It's not something you run after. When you talk about vanity, vanity is something that is good when it blows upon you. But when you pursue after it, you are crazy. That's what vanity is. Wind blows, you don't know where it comes from. It just blows on you. And you enjoy it. When it's hot, it gives you a lot of comfort. But if you say that wind was good, let's run after it, then something is wrong with you. So what is vanity? That which can be a blessing if it comes by itself, but we must never pursue after. That is what vanity is. I hope you've gotten my point. I've talked plenty today.